Ever since I've been to Brazil, we really feel very close to the community. Thank you, Mrs. Shama, for bringing here and bringing all the women. Is the first trip to America?
Yes.
First to Lakewood that you've done. You say this also, Abel Kilsenna? Abel Kilsenna. That was at the same every year. Inshallah, exactly. Yes. So here's what we're going to talk about. I think when I was in Brazil, I spoke about a marriage. You remember that was a good one? And now we talk about raising children. So here we're going to talk about today, Kibud Avaim, respecting parents. So if you remember, if those of you who were there, this is part of Lamala?
Yes.
She organized it, and then Lamala, like, we follow her, but she's like the
organizer.
She's the leader.
You are connected to Lamala or no?
Yes.
Together with Lamala. Okay.
A partnership.
I got it. So, well, Lamala is really making a big difference in changing the world. No, it's in these different things for women. So, I said when I was in Brazil that I think chinuch has changed. That means the way we raise our children has gotten different. What does that mean, it's changed? It used to be that they needed love, they needed discipline, and that was enough. But today our children need more. They need to be validated. They need to feel understood. They need to be uplifted. They want their parents to get them to understand what their struggle is. Have you ever experienced this with any of your children? You get what I'm saying? They want, you don't understand me. You don't get me. Here's the problem. A lot of our parents were not good at that. A lot of our parents don't at all do how to be nice, validate the kid and understand the child and get the child. And so because of that, maybe because they were never taught it, maybe because their parents were never good at it, a lot of our parents think it's a complete waste of time. Which is reason number one why Kibud Av V'Em is difficult today. Thank you. Kibud Av V'Em, nowadays as an adult, when we're adults and we have to go to our parents or visit our parents or talk to our parents and call our parents and help our parents, a lot of times because they don't understand this, it's difficult. And you go to your mother and she's making comments every time. You go to your mother and she's saying things that maybe in some way put you down. And you go to your mother and you just want your mother to respect you or appreciate your husband. And maybe you're a little more religious than your mother is and she doesn't understand why. Or maybe you're a little more relaxed than your mother is and you just want your mother to accept you. And she doesn't understand these things because she never did this. And raising children for us, we have to learn these tactics, but our parents never did. That's reason number one out of three reasons why I think Kibud Av V'Em as an adult is very difficult. Reason number two. Reason number two is that very often as people get older, they get more difficult. Just people become more challenging. So as you get older, that means your parents are getting older. And sometimes older people complain. You know, a lot of times when people pass away, older people pass away, they say, this person never complained. You ever hear them say that? This person never complained. I don't know what they're talking about. I know a lot of older people that complain. But for some reason, once they die, they never complain. That's just how it is. I've even times that I've been at the Livaya, at a funeral, and they say, this man never complained. I'm thinking to myself, are they talking about the same person? But the truth is, you have older people, sometimes they get a little more difficult. Maybe they complain. And the older people also sometimes, sometimes they're a little outdated. And they're talking about things from 50 years ago that you don't really care about. And you have people talking about President of the United States in 1970. I'm like, I have my hands full with Trump. I don't need to talk about presidents from 20 years ago. Sometimes there's things they can't do. Sometimes you get a phone call from your mother like, how do I send this thing? How do I send an email? And you're like, Ma, I don't know, press send. The whole world does it. But she doesn't realize. I gave a shiur. It's funny. You guys were in Lakewood. You should have come.
I'm also
Oh, you also don't know how. Okay, so you might be getting a little older, but I didn't say that. I didn't say that. By the way, I don't know why you should have come. By the way, in Lakewood, I made two speeches in Lakewood on Tuesday. You were in Lakewood on Tuesday, right?
Yeah, right.
So it was a big one. And at night, there was 1,000 people speech. You should have come. And in the day, it was like 500-600 people. And I made a speech to older women. Older women. No, the nighttime was not older women. So, but my point was, the speech was maybe 45 minutes long. There were phones ringing, and I told them, turn off the phone, turn off the ringer. There were phones ringing from the beginning of the speech to the end. Because there's a lot of old ladies don't know how to turn off the ringer. They don't know. You tell them to turn it off, they make it louder. They really don't know how to turn off the ringer. And so what happens the next thing, challenge number one is parents don't understand necessarily, older parents don't understand how to parent today. And challenge number two is that they get more difficult. Sometimes you have a parent that's living alone. And because they're living alone, they're more lonely. They have more things. They have more comments. Sometimes because they're living alone, they're trying to act very independent. And then sometimes they're very dependent on you, and it becomes much more challenging. And when we learned Kibud Av V'Em, we were in like fifth grade. We learned Kibud Av V'Em, and make sure you don't wake up your father, or make sure you give him a cup of water. That's so not what Kibud Av V'Em is. That's baby's Kibud Av V'Em. Adult Kibud Av V'Em is so much harder. Because in adult Kibud Av V'Em, you're dealing with people that at times are getting much more difficult as they're on an age. And reason number three is this. Reason number three is as our parents are getting much more needs, we also have much more needs. So what that means is we could be raising 4 or 5 children at home. We could be managing our marriage. Maybe we even have a married child or two at the same time. We might also have a job and managing a business. And we have so much going on in our life. And now our parents need us also so much more. Because maybe now your mother can't drive anymore. And now she needs someone to do errands. Maybe a parent isn't well. So now you have to go back and forth to the doctor and go to the hospital. And they need hours and hours and hours from you. And you have hours and hours and hours that are being taken from you. That you need to give to your family, to your children. So your needs are so much more, what you need to do, and at the same time, their needs are so much more. So Kibud Av V'Em as a child, you know, you're tired, get your father a cup of water is nice. Make sure you don't wake up your father when he's taking a nap on Shabbat afternoon is nice. But Kibud Av V'Em as you become an adult is very difficult. It's very difficult because number one, our parents at times don't understand how to validate us and treat us. Number two is older people at times get more difficult because of what they can't do or because they might be a little outdated or because of their complaints or things like that. And number three is they have a lot of needs and we have a lot of needs. And those two things at the same time are very, very hard to manage. Am I describing this accurately and true? Is this right? Yes?
No, mine is perfect.
Oh, your mother's here. Oh, no. Okay, good.
My mother was crying because Wait. I'm here. I'm not in Brazil.
Oh, really?
Really. When I'm coming back,
How old is your mother?
87. Why I left her.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. So now she doesn't understand at all how to give you your space mm-hmm. and say, you know what, you're an adult. You're over 15, 20, yeah? 55. Okay, good. So you're an adult, and number one. Number two is she has these different needs. She needs you a lot. Yeah. And then number three, just emotionally she needs you a lot. And then also just physically she might need you a lot. So now all of a sudden, getting your mother a cup of water is not the problem. It's so much deeper than that. So I want to say this to begin to make our point. The Abarbanel writes that Kibud Av V'Em is the backbone, is the foundation, is the strength of our entire Torah. He says, because our whole Torah is based on the fact, did you get the Torah on Har Sinai? Did you get the Torah? I'm saying, were you physically there?
No.
So how do you know that you got the Torah on Har Sinai?
Because it's all it from...
Because your mother told you.
Because your parents told you. And because your parents sent to yeshiva that told you. So the whole way that we have Torah is through our parents. No parents, no Torah. Ask your parents. He says this is the backbone of the entire Torah. Is supported only by Kibud Av Va'em. He says that's why Kibud Av Va'em is in the first of the Ten Commandments. The first five, not the second five. The second five is Ben Adam L'Chaveron. Kibud Av Va'em is in Ben Adam L'Makom. Why is Kibud Av Va'em Ben Adam L'Makom? Because respecting your parents is not about how you treat another person. Respecting your parents is about keeping the Torah, just like there's only one Hashem and don't have any other gods and keep Shabbat. Respecting your parents is in that same section to say that's how we have Hashem in our life. That's how we still have Torah. He says, "Shu ikar kolel haTorah." It's the ikar that the whole Torah is captured with. Ve'lo yitzuyar misyut bilto. And without it, there's no Torah existing. In fact, let me explain to you a story. Has anyone ever heard of the story of Dama ben Netina? Dama ben Netina is the Jewish people were missing a stone of the Choshen. As I tell you the story, you might remember what I'm saying. The stone of the Choshen during the second Beit HaMikdash, a stone was missing. And they went to buy it from a non-Jewish man. And the non-Jewish man said, exactly. Oh, your mother knows. The non-Jewish man said, I'm sorry, my father's sleeping. And my father's sleeping. I can't either get the key or the box. I can't get it. We'll pay any number. We can't get it because my father's sleeping. You know the story. You're familiar with the story. So the Meshech Chochmah says, I'm going to tell you the background to the story. We have 12 tribes. Of all the 12 Shevatim, only one of them perfected Kibud Av Va'em. The 10 tribes that sold Yosef, the 10 brothers that got together and sold Yosef, obviously didn't care enough about their father because they sold their brother and caused him pain. Yosef himself, when he was king of Egypt, could have sent a message to his father, had with some reason why not to, but because he didn't send the message to his father, he let his father be in pain for about 9 years, the 7 years of plenty and 2 years of famine. So he also wasn't perfect in Kibud Av Va'em. There was one Shevet that was perfect in Kibud Av Va'em. Who was that? That was Binyamin. Binyamin, who didn't sell his brother. Binyamin, who never caused any pain to his father. Binyamin perfected Kibud Av Va'em. That's why the Beit HaMikdash is built in the section of Binyamin. Because our whole relationship with Hashem is dependent on Kibud Av Va'em. So the son that was perfect in Kibud Av Va'em, he's the Shevet that could have Hashem's presence in his place. Now the Jewish people lost the stone. Says the Yerushalmi, which stone of the Choshen did they lose? The last stone on the last row. That is Yashpeh, that's the stone of Binyamin. Because Hashem was saying this, the Jewish people are shaky in the Beit HaMikdash. How are they shaky in the Beit HaMikdash? They're shaking out the Beit HaMikdash. Existence is shaky because they're missing something. What were they missing? The Tzedukim at that time, when people didn't believe in Hashem, knew that the only way to make us have less belief in Hashem is make us respect our parents less. If we have less respect for our parents, we'll have less belief in Hashem. And so, they made our belief and our trust in our parents less. And therefore, we lost the stone of Kibud Av Va'em. We lost the stone of Binyamin. And therefore, Hashem made it that the Jewish people are going to have to find that stone. And where are they going to find that stone? In someone's house of a non-Jew who's perfect in Kibud Av Va'em. Because we're going to learn from him that this is our problem. The Beit HaMikdash that's in the Chelek of Binyamin, that represents the Midah of Binyamin, that is Kibud Av Va'em, which allows us to have a relationship with our parents and through that our relationship with Hashem. Hashem said, now you're going to lose that stone to remind you that this is what's missing. Well, nowadays we live in the same type of time. We live in a time where Hashem is shaky existence in the world. And you know why that is? Because the world does everything in our power to make us disconnect from our parents. And they make you say, you're more advanced than your parent. You're smarter than your parent. You're more modern than your parent. Some of us are convinced we're more religious than our parents. So we get convinced that almost we are better than our parents. Ever watch, anyone, no one watches TV in Brazil, right? There's no such thing, right? No such thing? Okay, good. But if you ever would watch TV and they ever have a show about a family, any show today about a family has kids that are yelling or annoyed at their parents. Tell me to come home. Ugh, I can't believe it. What? That's the show. Because society today is all about we're better than our parents. We're more advanced. We're smarter. We want more progress. And it creates in us when we have our relationship with our parents is shaky, our relationship with Hashem is shaky. Let me tell you my own little personal story. So I just finished the year of Avelut for my father. The yard site was 2 weeks ago. Those of you who can see the picture over there, there's a picture of my father on the piano. That's my father, Lav Shalom. He's a great Tamid Chacham. And 7 years before he passed away, he was diagnosed with a sickness. Now, there's nine children in my family, nine siblings. I'm one of nine siblings. I'm the oldest. So now my father got diagnosed. I have a sister who really knows how to handle medical. In fact, she's part of a medical organization. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm a very, very busy person. My sister is going to take care of my, you know, my sisters will deal with my father. And keep me updated. One day, my sister calls me up early on. She's younger than me. She calls me up and she says, Joey, you need to be involved. I said, involved in what? She says, you need to be very involved. Your older son needs to be very involved. I said, but I'm very busy. She said, no, you don't understand. You're going to regret it if you don't. You need to take the lead role. You're the brother. You're the oldest son. You have to be involved. I said, but I have a million things. She says, well, what does that mean, you have a million things? This is daddy. About a week later, I bumped into her husband, my brother-in-law, who had lost his own father 10 years before. And he stopped me on the side. He's actually a rabbi in the community also. And he says to me, Joey, I just want to tell you something. I lost my father 10 years ago. I said, I know. He says, a few months before my father passed away, he asked me to go pick up something for him. And instead, I got someone else to get it instead because I was too busy. I got someone else to pick it up instead of me doing it myself. He says, to this day, I regret that moment. And I regret the fact that I didn't take care of my father myself. This is a person who was there for his father, went to the hospital, went to the doctors, was very involved. But one time I didn't do it, and I still regret it today. He told me, don't have the same regrets I have. And my sister and my brother-in-law changed my perspective completely. And somehow, over the next 7 years, I found ways to go to doctor visits. I found ways to sit in a car with my father for 2 hours, to be at the doctor, to wait an hour in order to meet the doctor for 20 minutes. Sit there and wait for another test, another hour. Be on conference calls with doctors. Sleep overnight in hospitals. They don't even let you sleep on a chair. The chair has arms, so you can't even sleep well because they don't want you to put two chairs next to you so it's flat because they don't want people sleeping there. I've had times that I had to give shiurim that would go around the world with almost no preparation because I had to be there for my father. And somehow Hashem told me. In fact, we had a thing at one period. We had a thing every day someone's going to spend time with daddy. My day was Sunday, and I was going to take my father for lunch. I will tell you this as a fact. There was not one Sunday during that year that I had time to take my father. Every Sunday, I had my phone in my hand to call and say, you know what, could someone else back me up? Come on, can you just give daddy lunch at home? I don't have the time. Every Sunday, I was about to make the call. And every Sunday, I said to myself, if I don't go today, I'm not going to go next week either. And I went that Sunday, and every Sunday, I look back. I have no idea what I did that year. But the only thing I remember from that year is the lunches with my father. Picking him up, helping him in the car, then helping him walk with his cane to wash his hands until I had died, asking what he wants to order, sitting and talking about different things that are going on in the world, different things going on in the community, him advising me, he was a rabbi for many years, advising me of how I should handle things. Those are the best memories in the world. And I will tell you, and this is a fact, after my father passed away, the year was not nearly as difficult as I expected. You know why? Because I felt so good. And I was so close to my father. I can't describe to you how much I love him, how much I miss him. But there was, in a certain way, the year was less painful because I knew I did everything I could. I knew I was there. I knew I held his hand. I knew I was in all the doctor visits. I knew I was part of all the decisions. I knew I was spent time with him. I knew I joked around with him. I knew I learned from him. Do I wish I had him another 10 years or another 15 years? I definitely do. But the idea of being knowing that I did everything I could as the most powerful feeling in the world. And I look back, and if I didn't get that conversation with my sister, and my brother-in-law didn't stop me in the street, and I would have just thought the whole time, well, I'm too busy. I would have looked back and said to myself, I can't believe it. Like, I gave up the chance to spend time with my father. And during the year, I started to realize, I said, it's not that I owe it to my father because he paid for my school tuition, or I owe it to my father because he taught me what I know, or I owe it to my father because he spent time with me, or I owe it to my father because he was nice to me, or I owe it to my father because he gave me a roof over my head, or I owe it to my father because he bought me food. I owe it to my father because without my father, I'm not here. There's no such thing as me. I don't exist without my father. So what does that mean I don't have time? What does that mean it's difficult? What do I mean I'm too busy? Without my father, I'm not here. In fact, I do have one little moment that I do a little bit regret. In the last 2 months before my father passed away, and the disease was spreading, he had a lot of different issues. He had strokes, he had heart attacks, he had the disease all over his body that he was dealing with in stage four. For 7 years, it was in stage four. So towards the end of his life, he was in pain. And towards the end of his life, one of his legs, I think it was his left leg, the disease was all over his leg as he was in a lot of pain. So one day me and my sister spent the whole day with my father. We took him in the car to Manhattan. We went to the doctor. We spent a couple of hours with the doctor. Then we had to wait for another test. Then we had to go to another doctor. And then maybe we had to get lunch. And then it was a long day. So now I came home at the end of the day. The whole day is just spent with my father. And I bring him into the house. And mommy says, okay, now you have to put, my mother says, you have to put daddy into bed. So I bring my father. Again, he's really weak at this point. So I put him into the bed. And then I lie him down on the bed. And then I have to put up, so I lift up one of his legs. And then I lift up the other leg. And now he's in the bed. And now I'm in a rush. I have to pray mincha. And I spent the whole day here. I have to go home. I have things to do. And he's in bed. And he has, like, his shoes are on. So I quickly rip off one shoe of the right foot. And then I rip off the shoe of the left foot. And I didn't realize that my father's leg was in so much pain to pull off the shoe. And he said to me, Joey, you can't do that. And I remember saying to myself, like, I just caused my father pain. I caused my father pain. Like, he was everything. He is everything to me. Always will be everything to me. Kibud Av V'Em is the center of our life. We say in the Haggadah, Arami Oved Avi. That means, literally, it means that Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov Avinu. But the commentary say, you know what Arami means? Arami means society. Oved Avi, they try to destroy our father. They try to destroy our relationship with our parents. They try to find a way to make us not appreciate them. A little while ago, I spoke at a big event, and the topic was Kibud Av V'Em. And there was a big rabbi, I don't know if you ever heard of Rabbi Elie Ber Vachvogel. Anyone you ever heard of Rabbi Elie Ber Vachvogel? He's one of the Gedolei Hador. He lives in South Forestburg. He's a Rosh Yeshiva in South Forestburg Yeshiva. He's one of the greatest Gedolim in the world today. Definitely one of the greatest Gedolim outside of Israel today. And his father was Rav Nosson Vachvogel, one of the founders of Lakewood Yeshiva, together with Rav Aaron Kuller. This rabbi is maybe he's in his 80s. He wrote this letter. I'm going to read to you the letter. And it's in Hebrew, but I'm going to explain it. It's titled, Harav Elie Dov Vachvogel, 6 Yeshiva Lane, Fallsburg, New York. He says, Yadua HaMa'amar, it is known, Me'achar HaKadmonim, from the earlier people, earlier rabbis, She'be'ikvita de'meshichya, that during the time of Mashiach, Yiyu nisnionot gedolim, there will be tremendous tests, Le'kayem apil la'aseret ha'dibirot. There will be tests even to be able to do the basics like Aseret HaDibirot, Kegon Arayot, like inappropriate relationships, Avodah Zarah, idol worship, Shvuot Avim, and even murder. Simple things will be a challenge. Ve'ata b'dorenu, and now in our generation, Anu ro'im ezeh b'chush, we see this clearly, Be'inyan Kibud Av V'Em, in regards to respecting parents. She'ayachas alehem k'shar b'nei adam, that we treat our parents like regular people. We would say, is my mother right? Is she wrong? Is my mother? My mother shouldn't have said that. Why did my father say that? He says, many therapists ומטפלים בבעיות הזמן, that deal with the issues of the day, דבר הראשון בטיפולם. Very often the first thing that they do is הוא לנתק הקשר עם ההורים. Is to separate children from their parents. רחמנא ליצלן. He says, how sad that could be that they make oy lahem, sad for them, v'oy lanu, and sad for us, shekach alta b'yamenu. This is what we're dealing with today. He says, v'lachen nachutz me'od. He says, it's very important, l'tchazek b'mitzvah zu, to be strong in this mitzvah. Shekemat nechshav kemet mitzvah. That is almost like a met mitzvah, like almost like a dead body that no one is paying attention. And he concludes, v'azeh bati alachatum. Here I am coming to sign Rosh Chodesh Iyar, He Tavshin Pehe, which is only 2 weeks ago. El Yado Vach Vogel. That's his letter. Here's his personal letter. If I were to ask you, do you eat? Would anyone here ever say, I have to eat on Yom Kippur because I don't feel comfortable fasting? Would anyone say, I can't put a mezuzah on my door because I'm not in the mood. It's not easy to do it. Would anyone say, I don't eat matzah on Pesach because I don't feel safe? Would anyone ever say that I'm going to turn a light on Shabbat because I don't have time to do a different way? So why do we think we have a right to say we keep it up? I don't feel like it. It's too hard for me. I'm not in the mood. My mother this Shabbat, to tell you the truth, my mother this Shabbat wants us to come over. And the first thing that I'm thinking about, and each one of us takes a different Shabbat, and she lives, whatever, 10-minute walk. The first thing I'm thinking about, I don't know if I could, and I have things going on, and I'm not in the mood. Friday night, I really want to be able to learn right after the meal. I don't want to have to walk home. I'm really not in the mood, and I want to spend time with my married kids, and I don't want to be distracted by my mother. What am I talking about? It's my mother. It is my parent. You think it's up to me? How about if it came to hearing the shofar? Am I going to say I'm not in the mood because I want to spend time with my married kid? It's ridiculous. But this is how we think. This is how we're trained to think. Someone once asked the Chavetz Chaim the true story. Kent the Chavetz Chaim was a woman. She said, my mother lives in my house, but it's very difficult for me. She says to Chavetz Chaim, do I have the permission to ask to put my mother outside of my house, put her in a home or something? Chavetz Chaim says, I don't know. He says, but I know this. Whatever you do to your mother, your kids are going to be doing to you. So if you don't have time for your mother, your kids won't have time for you. If you don't answer your mother's calls sometimes because you're not in the mood, your kids won't be answering your calls. If one day you say, I can't too much to deal with my mother, then your kids one day are going to say, it's too much to deal with you. He says, I don't know the halakha, but I know whatever you do to them, that's what you do to your parents, is what your children are going to do to you. Exactly. But what happens if it's hard? The truth is it's hard. So what do you tell someone when it's hard? So I have one simple piece of advice. It's one piece of advice, and I think it's an important. Very simply, one shift in your tone and in your words. Just say, Mommy, is it okay? Mommy, is it okay if I don't come over this Shabbat, but I come next Shabbat? Mommy, is it okay if I don't answer the phone from 7 to 8? Because that's the only hour my husband is home. Mommy, is it okay if I don't go to the butcher for you today? I'll go first thing tomorrow morning. Mommy, is it okay if I can't do the errand and I'll call one of our sisters to do it? Mommy, is it okay if I don't pick it up from the store, I'll have Uber do it? Mommy, is it okay? So often, instead, we get upset. We roll our eyes. We throw up our hands. I can't believe it. It's so annoying. We avoid. Don't avoid. Don't throw up your hands. Don't roll your arm. Don't roll your eyes. Just, Mommy, is it okay? On Monday night, I spoke in Muncie. A man came over to me after the speech. I spoke to some organization, whatever. And the man came over to me after the speech. He looks like he's 50-something years old. I never met him before. I'll probably never meet him again. And he stood there in the hallway. And he said, Rabbi, can I talk to you? Pull me aside. Rabbi, can I talk to you? And he had tears in his eyes. I said, what? He says, a week ago, it got to the point that my daughter, my single daughter, maybe she's 20 years old, moved out of my house. And she doesn't talk to me at all since. He says, you mentioned that your son had a stroke. He says, I also had a child that had a very difficult medical situation. He says, but this is so much more painful. He says, you can't imagine the pain I'm in. He says, all I'm asking you to do is, can you give me a beracha? I don't know him. I'm no gadol hador. I'm not a rabbi in Israel, 85 years old with a long beard. But he was so desperate. The pain of a parent feeling like their child doesn't care, or their child isn't tuned in, or their child isn't excited to see them, or isn't excited to talk to them, or a child can't wait to get off the phone, or a child is doing everything they can to avoid them. The pain is so great. And there are so many parents in our generation, so many, that are sitting in the house and saying, what did I do wrong? And I'll tell you the truth. I'll bet you that father that I'm telling you about made some mistakes. I'm sure he said the wrong thing. I'm sure he made some mistakes. But I don't know about you. I also make mistakes. I also have nights that I don't come home early enough. I also have times I didn't tell my son a story in bed. I also have times that I tell my daughter, get out of the room. I can't deal with this now. I've also made mistakes. Do I want to deal with these kinds of consequences? Why is it that maybe at probably half of parents have at least one child that is seriously difficult in Kibbutz Avaim? One child that makes a parent cry, that makes a parent, if they're still married, they look at each other, the husband and wife, and say, what did we do wrong? Why is it? Why are we the bad guys? Why are we always treated this way? Let me share with you one last little story and then one thought. Maybe we'll have a couple of minutes only for questions, if you want. Do we have some questions? We have to 1:20, correct? To 1:20, with Duke. So, this is a true story. It happened a few years ago. There was a man. There was a Sheva Berachot. And the grandfather of the Chatan, man named Mr. Lobenstein, got up and he said, I want to tell you a story. He said, many years ago, we moved to America. My family moved to America before World War II. We were in America during the war. He says, my family wasn't so religious, but they sent me to yeshiva. I went to Chaim Berlin. You know where Chaim Berlin is? It's right here on three blocks away. It's a very prominent yeshiva. I went to Chaim Berlin. He said, I went to Chaim Berlin, and I was in 9th grade, 10th grade. I wasn't learning well. And he says, and I was debating if I should stay, if I should not. And back then, if you left yeshiva, it's very likely you're going to end up marrying a goya. He says, but I wasn't sure. I didn't realize that then. I was just thinking, should I stay, should I leave, should I stay, should I leave? Finally, I made a decision. I'm not learning well. I'm leaving. He says, I got on the train to leave yeshiva. I was going to go home. Now, sitting on the train, and a boy in the yeshiva, let's say I was in 10th grade, this boy was in 12th grade or higher grade, saw me on the train come over to me and said, I just want to tell you, Lobenstein, you're doing, it's nice to see you're learning very well. Very impressed with how well you're learning. He says, and the boy walked away. 20 seconds he spoke to me and walked away. And Mr. Lobenstein says, I'm sitting in my chair and I'm saying to myself, if he thinks I'm learning good, then maybe I'm learning well. Maybe I'm doing better than I thought. He says, and I made a decision based after I thought about it from that comment to go back to yeshiva. I stayed in yeshiva many years. I married a Jewish girl. We built a home of Torah Mitzvot. We have many children. We have many grandchildren. Many, many grandchildren. So one of those grandchildren is here tonight on the path of Torah Mitzvot. He says, the reason why I'm sharing this story is because the man who came over to me, the boy who came over to me on the train that day, is the grandfather of the Kala. Rabbi Diskin, the grandfather of the bride, was the man who came over to me on that day. He saved my life. He saved my future. He saved my family. And because of that, my grandson is marrying his granddaughter today. And Rabbi Diskin didn't remember the story because it was 20 seconds, 60 years ago. When we think about our parents and the tests that they went through and the challenges they went through, I don't know what Brazil was like for your parents, but I know what this country was like for my parents. My parents were one of the only people to keep Torah Mitzvot fully. One of the only ones. Their grandparents, They went through the challenges. They went through the tests. So maybe they don't exactly know how to say the right comment to me. And maybe they don't exactly know how to give me the right hug and make me feel great in every conversation. But they gave me everything. It's not about what they give me. And it's not even about what they gave me. It's that without them, there's no me. And when you think about it, the challenges they went through, some of them in earning an income, some of them in earning a living, some of them in staying Jewish, some of them in supporting a family, some of them in staying married, they did tremendous challenges in order to make me me. And I'm going to say I'm not in the mood because I'm a little busy. Aaron Leib Steinman. You heard of Aaron Leib Steinman? It was a great Gedolei Hador, passed away a few years ago. Aaron Leib Steinman said that the last challenge to bring the Beit HaMikdash back is Kibud Avaim. He says, you know why? Because we have to overcome the enemy, which is Esav. He says, and Esav excelled in Kibud Avaim. So if we're going to beat him, we have to be great in Kibud Avaim too. And that's why that's our last test. Can we be as good as Binyamin? Can we be the kind of people who understand that our parents is our everything? I don't care if sometimes they don't know how to validate. I understand that sometimes they might have, they might be a little more difficult as people that are getting older. And I don't really care that you have a lot of needs. But you know what I learned in 7 years of my father? Somehow, Hashem has a way. If what I'm busy with is giving shiurim, Hashem can make it easier. Instead of giving two, you could give one to double the crowd. Hashem can make things happen all the time. Hashem can make an income be so much quicker. Hashem can make bracha in your home so much easier. Oh, well, my children need me. You could have one conversation. You could have a two-hour conversation with your child that they don't enjoy. Hashem can make it easy that you have one conversation, 20 minutes with your child that's so much more powerful. Leave it up to him. But no one negotiates putting up a mezuzah. No one debates whether they have to eat matzah. No one debates hearing the shofar, keeping Shabbat, praying every day. No one debates any of those things. But we think that we have the right to debate whether our parents deserve us, whether our parents should get our energy and our time, whether we should answer their phone. We have the right to debate whether they're annoying or not. I don't even know where we got this from. We got this from a world that is created in our head that it's up to me. It's never up to you. Yes, if a parent is dangerous, it's a different conversation, but it's never up to you. Yes, sometimes it's hard. Yes, as you get older and they get older, it gets harder. And that's how it becomes more of an opportunity and a greater chance to be like Binyamin, to be the generation that builds the Beit HaMikdash in our time. All we have to do is step back and realize that it's not about what they give us today. It's not even about what they gave us yesterday. It's about the fact that without them, there's no us. Thank you.